Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei, we have the incredible edifice, the Mishkan, the beautiful building is finally completed. And there's a detail in the midst of this story of the building of the Mishkan, which is the source of what I believe is an extremely important concept in Hashkafa. So let's begin with the following. We have a Mishnah Maseches Bikurim, which later became a very famous Mishnah, but the Mishnah tells us about the process of bringing the Bikurim by the farmer, all the way from out wherever he might live, all the way up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says they travel, they go from one city to the next, and they have parades. And finally, when they get to Yerushalayim, says the Gemara, Balei Umnius Shebi Yerushalayim, those store owners, those shopkeepers in Yerushalayim who saw that the farmers have now reached the holy city of Yerushalayim, HaYuyotzim Lekras Mevi HaBikurim, they would come out to greet and to pay tribute, to give honor to those who are bringing up the Bikurim. And now the Mishnah says a very strange statement. Ulufi kavod hanichnasim hayu yotzim. Dependent on how important, how prominent the farmer was who was bringing the fruits, that's how people would come out to greet them. So the Yerushalmi there on Miseches Bikurim finds this to be a very troubling statement. Here you have a bunch of farmers coming from Arba Kamfos Eretz Yisrael, not Haaretz. So Bikurim is brought by farmers from all over the place. Some of them are poor, some of them are not so well known, some of them are just ordinary farmers, and some of them might be distinguished, some of them might be very prominent, very well known. But the Yerushalmi asks, V'chiyesh katon v'gadol b'Yisrael, do we have rankings of Jewish people, and it depends how important you are, that's how many people are going to come out to greet you? Everybody's coming to perform the same mitzvah. Everybody's coming to bring the Bikurim. Everybody should be equally beloved. Everyone should be equally admired and respected. Why do we give more significance to the person who's a gadol, who's more prominent, than to someone who might be a katan? After all, they're all performing the same mitzvah. And if you look in the Shem Yishmuel is a beautiful sefer on Chumash, written by the son of the Avnei Nezer. So one of the great treats of the Shem Yishmuel is that every few pages, every so often, he quotes something from his holy father, the Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer is quoted by his son as saying in Parshas Truma, "Asiyas haMitzvah hi yisod hakol." Bottom line is, you have to perform the mitzvah. The Torah says you have to do it in this fashion, you have to do it in that way. That's what it all comes down to. You have to put on tefillin in the morning. What's the difference between your putting on tefillin and my putting on tefillin? As long as we get the tefillin put on, as long as we do it properly, we don't have any chatzitza and we do it the right way, we have all the right kavana. So it's the same whether a prominent person is doing it or a very ordinary person. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Kemoshi Efshar Livnos Binyan Beli Yisod, the same way that it's impossible to build a building without having a very strong foundation. Obviously, we know the building will fall down. Kain, so too, Efshar Bilti Asiyas HaMitzvahs B'Poel. So he's coming to somewhat attack those who just sit and think about the mitzvah and they philosophize, what does the mitzvah mean? You can philosophize all you want, you can have all the kavanas and all the hachanas, but bottom line, says the Avnei Nezer, if you don't do the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done, you get nothing. You could sit and think about all the halakha kedusha of the tefillin, but in the end of the day, if you don't put on the tefillin, you have no mitzvah at all. Even if by thinking about the tefillin, you become very close and very deeply connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't make sure to do the mitzvah properly, you have nothing at all. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, what is the difference between my mitzvah and your mitzvah? What is the difference between the ordinary person and he or she who might be prominent? What's the difference? Either way, we are all trying to perform the same mitzvah. And if it all boils down to the Maisa HaMitzvah itself, to the performance of the mitzvah and doing it properly, it shouldn't make any difference. How do we understand this Mishnah in Maseches Bikurim, which seems to indicate that we do draw some kind of distinction, and it does depend who you might be. So the truth, what you see from this is that when we speak about the performance of the mitzvah, there is no hierarchy at all. We don't assume that there's a ranking, it doesn't matter who might be doing it. And that really is in line with the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Ayin. This is a Gemara that's codified in Shulchan Aruch, and Choshe Mishpat, and Simen Ches as well, where the Gemara tells us, Parnes, when you have a community leader, when you have a person who's very involved, who has a prestigious position, Kivan Shenismana Alatzibur, once they have been elected, once they have been chosen out, singled out to be the leader of the community, Asr Lasos Malacha Bifnei Shlosha. Imagine, somebody's car needs some oil repair. So you're going to say the person should get down on their hands and knees. You're the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. You're going to get down on your hands and knees and start fixing the car and changing the oil. It's not respectful. It doesn't make sense that you should be the one to do that. And therefore, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara there, a person who's in a position of leadership should not do activities like that because that's beneath them. However, says the Gemara there as well. Aval yachol hu livnos make. When it comes to building a fence around your roof, which is a performance of a mitzvah, don't say, oh, I happen to be the Gadol Hador, I happen to be a prestigious person, I happen to be someone who is very prominent, and therefore it's beneath me to build my makkah. No, the Torah says, build a makkah, don't hire someone else to do it. Do it by yourself. It's never beneath anyone to perform a mitzvah. And on that note, the Shaarei Teshuva picks up and he says as well, the same applies when it comes to building, to constructing a sukkah. Don't think that it's beneath you to build a sukkah. No, that's part of being a Jew. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how prominent you think it might be, doesn't matter how much the community thinks you're a special and highlighted individual, still we assume it's not beneath anyone to perform the building of a sukkah, to perform the mitzvah of building a makkah, and therefore, says the Shach, this applies to all mitzvah observances. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a interesting tshuva from the Chavos Yair, where he writes that there was somebody who had a good voice or who knew how to play a violin or something of that nature, and they asked this person to go and play by a Simchas Chasam Kala. I don't know if it was a Sheva Brachas or a wedding, but they said that the Chasam and Kala would enjoy very much to hear the music or to hear the singing. Now the person said to themselves, I don't have a band. I happen to like playing the violin for my own pleasure, for my own enjoyment. I'm not usually looked at the person who's hired as the band. It's beneath me. I'm the Rav of the community. And the Chavos Yair wrote back to him, no, this is for the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Kala. What does it matter what your position might be? Go ahead, perform the mitzvah, play the music, sing the songs, do whatever you have to do. That is the mitzvah that you're supposed to be doing now. And when it comes to performing a mitzvah, it doesn't matter who you think you are or who you actually might be. Everyone is given equal opportunity. We look at everyone as uniform, and we all have the obligation to perform the mitzvah equally. Where does this idea come from? It all stems from Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha. In our parsha, we learn, Vayakim Moshe as HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and constructs the Mishkan. The Gemara Menachos learns that it's that Moshe Rabbeinu did it by himself. Can you imagine? It was probably a difficult, arduous process to go and construct the Mishkan every day, put it up, and take it down for the first few days when they were constructing the Mishkan. It had to be put up every morning, taken down every evening, and the same thing had to be done day after day after day. And Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it by himself. Hayakim, Moshe es HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it by himself, like Rashi writes, Lo siyu echav HaKohanim. His brothers, the Kohanim, seem not to have helped him out at all. Why should that be the case? Nobody had the Derech Eretz to go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, hey, this is a very demanding job. After all, you're an old man. You've done a lot for us. You are the leader of the Jewish people. You are the one who has the Ruach HaKodesh. You are the one who speaks and who communicates with the Ribbono Shel Olam directly. Maybe somebody should go help him out. No, says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was proud of the fact that he was given the opportunity to go ahead and build a Mishkan. He would never have given that away to anybody else. And therefore, we learn from that that it should be the same when it comes to any mitzvah observance. We should never feel that it's beneath us to perform any given mitzvah. There's one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav wrote a story about how one of the grandchildren of the Brisker Rav was celebrating a bris, and the Brisker Rav was in attendance, and many very special Rabbanim, very honorable guests were there. So the Brisker Rav turned to one of the Rabbanim and he said, I'd like to invite you to please say a Dvar Torah once we're all assembled here in honor of the bris. Why don't you say some Divrei Torah? So he gets up and he says, like any good speaker, he can't just get up and speak. He has to give a whole introduction to the introduction. So he gets up and he says, it's such a tremendous opportunity that I have to give Divrei Torah at such a honorable occasion. After all, we're sitting in such august company. We have such illustrious guests here, such a chash of a bris. After all, this is the grandson of the Brisker Rav, and it's the son of whoever it was. And he starts going on and on about the esteemed company, about all the chaverim who were there sitting together. And the Brisker Rav said, okay, we've heard enough from you. Now you can sit down. What was the objection? The Brisker Rav said to him, absolutely not. We don't talk about mitzvahs like that. What does it matter if it's my grandson's bris or it's someone else's grandson's bris? A bris is a mitzvah that the Torah highlights. A bris is a mitzvah that the Torah says is such an important mitzvah. What does it matter who's performing the bris? We're all in this together. Whether you're doing it or I'm doing it, we all have the same mitzvah. We all have the same opportunity to perform that mitzvah. And we don't have a ranking when it comes to performing mitzvahs. And he thought that was an inappropriate way to talk about mitzvahs if you're going to say we're in such a special opportunity, such a special place, such a wonderful occasion, because we have the bris of the grandson of the Brisker Rav. He thought that that was a degrading way to discuss mitzvahs. After all, mitzvahs are supposed to be holy, are supposed to be special for anybody who might be performing them, doesn't matter who you might be. So the Talmidim turned to the Brisker Rav and they said to him, well, sounds very nice. However, we seem to have a Gemara that indicates not so. After all, it says, Vayakim Moshe Esh HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who built the Mishkan by himself, and nobody else was allowed to join him because Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity to do it. Gemara says, had anyone else joined him, it would have been Malim HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. That would have been lowering the Kedusha of the Mishkan if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it himself. So what do you mean lowering? If we all have the same mitzvah together, why should Moshe Rabbeinu do it by himself? What about everyone else? All Jews are equal when it comes to mitzvahs. So the Brisker Rav answered, no, that's not true. It depends what kind of mitzvah. If we have a mitzvah that we're all obligated to perform, like the mitzvah of Bris Mila, like the mitzvah of Tefillin, like the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, like shaking the lulav, like lighting the Shabbos candles, whatever it might be, building a sukkah, in a case like that, we assume we're all on equal footing. Every Jew has to perform the mitzvahs, and we all have the same opportunity to do so and to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam as we do that. And in a case like that, said the Brisker Rav, there is no hierarchy, there is no ranking at all. We are all equal when it comes to mitzvahs that we all have to perform on an equal level. However, he says, when you have a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Jewish people as a whole, as a tzibur, we have to do it, so then we as a community will be mechabed one person who is the highest, most elevated person to perform the mitzvah on behalf of all of us. That makes a lot of sense. I can't ask the Talmud Chacham to go put on tefillin for me tomorrow. I can't ask him to sit in the sukkah. I have the mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, but I could ask, let's say when we have Kriyas HaTorah, which is a mitzvah that we all need to perform collectively, we're going to put up the most special person to get the aliyah, because why not enhance the mitzvah by putting up the person who we all respect and care for, who is more prominent than anyone else in the minyan? So that is the answer that's given by the Brisker Rav on that occasion. It's an interesting Shari Tshuva in Hilchas Lulav, where the Shari Tshuva writes a story that happened in Europe. He doesn't identify which community he was in, but he says one time in Europe there was a shortage of lulavim and esrogim, and they couldn't buy that year. I don't know if they were too expensive or they just didn't reach that community. So there was one big veer, there was one very wealthy person in the neighborhood who decided, we can't go a whole yontif without having a lulav and esrog. So he went out of his way and he spent a fortune of money to have something sent to the community. Comes the first day of Sukkot, he didn't tell anybody, he shows up in shul, whips out his lulav and esrog, and he's standing there very arrogantly in the middle of shul, shaking away while everyone's just looking at him. So all the community went into an uproar. They were incensed by this. He provoked a big argument to break out. After all, we have a rabbi here. Why don't you, once you have a lulav and esrog, why don't you give it to the rabbi? He says, what does that have to do with the rabbi? I bought the lulav and esrog. So they turned to him and they said, we understand you bought it, but Derech Eretz would dictate that you should give it to the rabbi instead of you shaking it by yourself. So the rabbi didn't hear anything that was going on. I guess back then the rabbi used to look at the wall, or he was still in the middle of Shemona Esrei, either way. But the rabbi didn't hear what was going on. Finally, he turns around. He sees there's a whole commotion. So he says, what's happening? So they said, we're having a disagreement. This man bought a lulav and esrog. He refuses to give it to you. So the rabbi said, why do you refuse to give it to me? He said, because I have the mitzvah of dalad minim like you have the mitzvah of dalad minim. Why should I give it to you? Why is your dalad minim more important than my dalad minim? And the rabbi said, he's absolutely correct. There is no difference. There's no reason why we should assume that you have to give the mitzvah to me. After all, you have the same opportunity to perform the mitzvah. Your tefillin is my tefillin. Your dalad minim is my dalad minim. There's no reason why anyone who's more prominent should have an opportunity to do a mitzvah more so than anybody else. Because mitzvahs are given on equal footing and everybody has the same opportunity, as we see from this week's parsha. Let's just close with an insight of Reb Simcha Buna Mipshischa, who pointed out there's a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Beis where the Gemara tells us, if you have an unfortunate situation where a Nachri, where a non-Jew comes to someone and threatens that unless you take a gun and shoot somebody else, he specifies a person, I'm going to take away your life. So the Gemara says you don't have a right to do that. You have to give up your life. You cannot take the life of someone else. Why can't you do that? Says the Gemara. My chazis, what makes you think that your life is more important than the other person's life? So said Reb Simcha Buna Mipshischa, what do you mean? Let's say I'm the Gadol Hador, and the other person who they're asking me to murder is somebody who's homeless, somebody who's never done anything in their life, somebody who has not accomplished much in life. So you'll still say, I have to give up my life. The Gadol Hador has to give up his life. All the Jewish people need this person. You have to tell me I have to give up my life because who knows if my life is more important than theirs? Says Reb Simcha Bunim, yes. Because you have no idea if God loves his mitzvah of tefillin that he performs every day more than yours. You have no idea if his Shabbos is more meaningful to God than your Shabbos. Yes, on the outside it seems that you're more prominent and you're more important and you might be somebody who's more celebrated, but in the end of the day, in the eyes of God, it's all determined by the mitzvah opportunity that the person has to serve him. And why should it make a difference if you're the one who does it or if he's the one who does it? Says the Gemara, my chazes, what makes you think that your life is more important than that person's life? And therefore the halacha is, in a case like that, person has to be willing to give up their life even if they are far more prominent, far more important on the surface than one might have thought, because my chazes, tedamech, tidach, sumach, tvei, what makes you think that your life is more important and is more significant in the eyes of God than the other person's life?